Welcome to the Waste of Web Space, Waste of Time podcast. Come with us to a year gone by to find out what was going on in the world of news, politics, entertainment, sport and technology. More importantly, what stupid things happened that you've probably forgotten all about or didn't even know about to begin with. How far back will our homemade time machine take us? Who knows? But his MOT runs out soon and the tax on the bloody thing's extortionate. Not to mention the clean air zones around our city centres now. Welcome to the Waste of Web Space, Waste of Time. Hello!
Welcome to the Waste of Web Space, Waste of Time podcast starring
Jimbo
and Fisher.
Plan that. Yep. So how's it going?
Very good, thanks. When did we last podcast?
It's probably a couple of months ago, isn't
it? Yeah, not done much at all this year.
No.
Well, I haven't. I mean, obviously, you've been busy podcasting with some other people, with your other friends.
Yeah. But you've been busy cricketing.
Yeah, with my other friends.
People who like cricket.
Yeah, we haven't done a podcast yet. And to be fair, you and your Island Audio podcast haven't played cricket either, so, you know, we'll stick to our own things.
I think that's what Chapel Town is missing, though, Fisher. I think Chapel Town is missing a good cricket podcast.
Yeah? Do you want to be on it with me?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, so welcome to the Waste of Web Space, Waste of Time podcast. This is something we've always done the Waste of Web Space podcast, haven't we? Kind of in previous years more often than this year. But we decided that we're going to do something that's a little bit different and go back in time, basically, with our time machine. Mm-hmm. To years gone by, years before we started podcasting. What year we go to, we don't know, but we decided in the previous episode, so we know where we're going today, don't we?
Yeah, there's a bit of a clue if you're watching this on the stream. It already says Waste of Time 2007 on it, so I think we might be going back to 2007.
But where we go later...
Yeah.
We don't know where we'll go later.
We don't
know. That's completely random, so that'll be at the end. But anyway, Fisher, first of all, cheers.
Cheers.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. You've got some beer. What have you got?
I have got the Crush Hour Vocation. Now, this is not a beer podcast, so if anyone is listening who listens to the Alien Audio podcast, you'll probably be disappointed, just in general.
Yeah. Not by me, they won't. Maybe by you.
Yeah. You'll be disappointed that it's not really a beer podcast, but we are in a pub shed. We record in a pub shed. This is the studio. Mm-hmm. We've always had, and before the Alien Audio podcast, we always used to have a different beer each time, didn't we?
Yeah, well, it was a regular thing. That's helped to launch the Alien Audio podcast.
We did.
But I don't get any royalties or anything like that for helping to do this. I mean, no one had drunk beer before us two, had they? of course they had.
Well, we normally used to share, though, didn't we?
Yeah, but then we decided that we'd rather just have a full one to ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Vocation Crush Hour Fisher. If you do listen to the Alien Audio podcast, which I'm not promoting in any way whatsoever, mm-hmm. we have a feature called Martin Brewis.
Yeah.
Which is about saving money on beer. Hmm. These are 13 quid for 12.
All right, okay.
So in Asda.
Yeah, just over a pound. That's all right.
£1.08 a can.
Yeah.
So good, very good deal. So what you got, Fisher?
I've got Linda's Farm Brown Ale. A taste of Northumberland, apparently. This was a present from brother-in-law, who bought it for me probably at the start of the year, and therefore assumed that I was going to drink it on the podcast much earlier than now. But we haven't podcasted much since then, so therefore I'm now having it.
I think it's a song, Linda's Farm, isn't it?
Fog on the Time, was that the song by Linda's Farm?
There you go, yeah. That's it. Is that where it's come from then? Is it from the North East?
Yeah, well, yeah. So it's Northumberland, that's North East. It's based at, the sister company is called VIP Brewery. Not sure whether that's actually very important or just decided to give that name. And they're based Annick, which is near where the castle is, presumably.
So
if you could do the honours and open that, and I suspect it's then going to spill over the top of the bottle and have to drink it very quickly.
A big shout out to Kev Box, by the way, who can see you said evening. Thank you very much for getting in touch, Kev, one of our listeners. If it is Kev, it could actually be Jan in disguise as Kev listening and watching us. But anyway, I'll open your bottle. There you go. He doesn't want a glass.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm being a bad host. I did offer started. But yeah, welcome to the Waste of Web Space, Waste of Time 2007. There we go. So what have you been up to? Before we go back in time, we've got that coming up, but before we go back in time, what are you up to?
All sorts of stuff. Played cricket this year. Went to our cricket league's annual evening meal and presentation night last Saturday. They gave out 130 awards to top class cricketers and high quality administrators as well at a local level. Guess what I won, Jimbo?
I think I might have seen this. You didn't win anything in particular, did you?
I think you'll find I did. This was the award ceremony where they gave out 130 awards to good quality cricket teams, so players, and top quality administrators.
130 awards, and I know how much administration you do for your cricket club. You've got to have won one of those 130 awards.
No, I won fourth prize in the raffle. So what's more annoying is I actually thought I'd won first prize. I walked the entire length of the room with effectively the correct ticket, only to be told that the serial number was wrong. So I had to go back, and then I realised I got fourth prize, and off I went again. So.
Can you do your acceptance speech for us for accepting your fourth place raffle prize?
It's thank you very much for this pair of gloves. Oh, by the way, they're too big for me, so I'm going to have to sell them to one of my mates, which I am duly in the course of trying to do.
Did anybody storm the stage and ruin your acceptance speech?
Not on this occasion, no.
But that does have a link back to 2007, which is why I mentioned
it. Does it?
It does. So that'll be coming up. So I've not ruined any of the quiz questions, don't worry.
What have you been up to then, Jimbo?
So, well, just the usual things, really. You might have seen since walking into the pub shed, there's been some adaptations outside, possibly. Mm. There is now a fence around the hot tub, which doesn't get used anyway. Yeah. There's a fence around the hot tub now, but that's because of the rabbits, because they ate it.
Ate the hot tub?
They ate the wires behind the hot tub, which were our garden lights. Yep. And yeah, they did eat the hot tub wire, which nearly frazzled them.
Yep.
But yeah, we don't really use it much anymore anyway, because it's expensive, because, you know, all that since over a year ago now, we've been paying stupid prices for energy, haven't we?
Should speak to Martin Bruce.
Should do, yeah. Mm. But yeah, you might have noticed other adaptations. I fell down a rabbit hole just out there because one of the rabbits had dug a hole from underneath the hutch, right underneath.
Really?
Yep. Dug right underneath, and I fell down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because I tried to fill it in,
yep,
but I'd not filled the bit that goes underneath. So eventually, after lots of trips back and forward, I fell down the hole and I had to fill it all in. So rabbits have caused me all sorts of havoc. Mm. But I also had another incident, which is my show and tell. Okay. So I've got my show and tell. So for those people tuning in for the first time, this is how show and tell works. Me and Fisher bring, one of us will bring a story or an item to the podcast, and you've got to kind of guess which of the stories is true. So I've got two stories for you. And the item is my hair.
Oh, you brought it with you?
I brought my hair with
me. Unlike
myself.
Yeah.
I brought the hair with me.
Okay.
And my two stories are, well, the whole story is, I found something in my hair.
Okay.
Okay. And you've got to work out from my two possible answers which one it was.
What you found in your hair?
It was either a Haribo egg.
All right, okay, yeah.
Or a slug.
All right. Well, one's slightly more tasty than the other.
The slug was delicious.
Well, yeah. I'm assuming. I've never eaten an Haribo egg, so I wouldn't know. If you had the Haribo, well, go on then. How did you how did you find the Haribo egg in your hair?
Well,
did it come from?
It was Halloween.
Yep. That's no excuse.
We had a Halloween pinata. And we were bashing that. Having a bit of fun with that on a little Halloween party we had for Ada. Bashed it and the sweets came out, obviously. Yep. And then later on, I found my hair was a bit longer than what it is now, by the way. I've had it cut since. Mm-hmm. But I found a Haribo egg in my hair when I was getting in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I realised it was a Haribo egg in my hair.
it was fried, presumably, as is normally the way with such things.
I mean, I'm not allowed to eat Haribo eggs or slugs, for that matter.
Yeah.
Why not? Being vegetarian.
Well, it's not an actual egg. It's a sweet.
It's got gelatin in it.
Okay.
And I can eat eggs, really. Yeah. I just can't eat Haribo eggs, because Haribo eggs have got more meat content than actual eggs.
Oh, man, that's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I bet you were gutted when you found that. You probably need a drink, but it's all right. You've got a cola bottle in your hair, so you could just just swig on that, so you were fine.
That's it. It is Jan, by the way, in disguise.
In your hair?
No, all right, okay. On the thing.
Was it stuck in your hair? Kind of, was it sticky? Or is that why you had your hair cut afterwards? Because you got a sticky egg in your hair?
I think my hair was just long and it seemed to have got somehow...
Just lodged in.
Randomly lodged in there, yeah. But it could have... I suppose being sticky might have made more sense, because I would have thought it would have fell out. So I think it possibly was a bit sticky, yeah.
But there was no lasting damage to your hair once the egg was removed?
No.
Unlike having an actual egg
I think I had to, like, kind of untangle and yank it out a little bit. But other than that, yeah.
Yeah, what about the egg? So the okay. How long approximately from pinata bashing to shower did you? Was there an overnight stay in there?
No, I showered quite early. Okay. I think the party was over about 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously he had his bedtime and all that.
Yeah.
So we had to send all the other kids home.
Mm-hmm.
And the pinata bashing was one of the main headlining acts at the party.
Yeah.
So I must have gone in the shower after everyone had gone, maybe about 20 minutes, half an hour later, maybe.
Okay. Did you, what did you bash the pinata with?
It was like, we had some wooden spoons.
Right.
I don't know why that was relevant question.
Well, just to ask. You said you used a pinata. Was the wooden spoon an effective pinata weapon? Is that the right term?
Yeah, it was okay. I think we did have a proper one, but it got lost somewhere. Hmm. Or another kid took it or something. I don't know.
Are they Mexican in origin, pinatas?
I think so,
yeah.
You like Mexico, don't you?
Well, yeah, I've been there twice, so must like it. Wouldn't go somewhere twice if you didn't like it, would you? I've never seen any pinata-related things whilst in Mexico. And I kind of now think about it would be nice if next time we go to Mexico, if we ever go again, it'd be good to do a pinata. Get some sweets, ideally not in my hair. So next option is you had a slug in your hair.
Yes.
Is this when you fell down the rabbit hole?
It's not, but it does link to the rabbits.
Right, okay. So go on then. How does it link to the rabbits?
So I cover the rabbits up each night,
mm-hmm.
and there's like a tarpaulin over the rabbits. Mm. The reason I cover them up every night is, well, it gets cold sometimes here. It's nice to take a bit of wind off them. But also, I did see a fox not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to cover them up every night now. Don't want to scare the rabbits or all that. So I cover them up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this cover overhangs. It does overhang on the rabbit hutch. So when I'm in there trying to put the hay in and the food in and stuff like that, my hair kind of does touch the back of the top of this tarpaulin sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I assume that's how they still got in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So obviously to feed the rabbits, what you do is you put your head in the hutch and you just eat the fried egg straight out your hair. Okay. So how did you notice the slug?
I just felt something in my hair.
Yeah.
A bit like the egg, really.
Yeah.
Just felt something in my hair. And then I decided to put my hand there to find out what it was and found the slug.
Okay.
And again, it was probably around 20 minutes later, 15, 20 minutes later.
Hmm. Okay. Did it come out as part of a shower or just while you were sat on the settee and, you know?
On this occasion, if it is this story, mm-hmm. I hadn't got as far as the shower. I was kind of in the kitchen doing a bit of tidying up and stuff like that.
Nah, I don't think you tidied up in your kitchen.
You rumbled me.
Yeah. So did you then sort of think, I've got a slug in the kitchen, so I need to sort of disinfect worktops and all that sort of stuff? Or?
Yeah, I did. I did disinfect the worktops as I normally do anyway. It's good practice.
Good practice, yeah, of course.
As you'll know. But no, I was just a bit disgusted and then proceeded to go and get a shower.
Okay.
A shower is involved in both of these stories.
Yeah, but one was mainly the place to find the foreign object in your hair. The other place was to help ensure it was thoroughly washed out. Again, was there any lasting damage or was there any slime?
Yeah, obviously. In the slug, there was slime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What was it shell like?
I just put a few slug pellets in there now and problem solved.
It's a little blue rinse with the pellets in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the slug's shell like?
What was the, sorry, what, slug's shell?
Yeah.
Well, that would have been a snail.
I thought, just checking.
Yeah.
So, I suppose it's probably time for me to guess as to what it may or may not be.
There's been a guess come through. I don't know if you're going to agree with that guess or not.
Kev, it says slug, and it's got a picture of a dog, so I think that's a dog, not a slug.
Well, no, the picture of the dog is the feed from their face.
Oh, right,
profile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kev.
It's Jan.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry, Jan.
Well, I think Jan thinks it might be slug.
Yeah, because she said slug. I think, could you get a slug in your hair and not notice? Would you want to publicly say that? I don't know. I'm going to say it was Haribo fried egg.
Haribo fried egg. Okay.
Actually, why would you have a fried egg in a pinata on its own? Are the sweets not wrapped in a pinata? Do they put Haribo in there?
You're gonna have to stick to an answer.
Well, I've said fried egg now, so I've got to stick with it first. Yeah, once you've gone in, you've got to stay there. So I'm gonna stick with Haribo fried egg.
You're wrong. Yeah. It was the slug. Yes. It was the slug. I'm quite impressed myself there because I'd realized as you were asking me questions, I'd not thought of a backup story for the Haribo egg. I decided on Haribo egg, but I've not actually thought how would that even get there. So that was on the spot, the pinata thing. well which done. I think was pretty clever. Hmm. So there we go. So that's my show and tell. I did have a slug in my hair.
Sorry to hear that.
It was disgusting.
I suppose I've got a quick anecdote. Obviously, I've got this shirt on, which is a bit unusual. It sort of emerged a little bit into your background on the Waste of Web Space, on the Waste of Web Space wall, on the Adel Audio Pub Shed wall, or whatever it's called. And I bought this when I went on holiday. I went on holiday mid to late September. And I'm wondering, do you know why I moved rooms while I was on holiday?
Did you have a slug in your room?
Didn't have a slug in my room. What do you think the circumstances were? Do you think it was that there was a leak in the room above, which came down into my room and led to us having to move rooms? Or do you think it was excessively loud lovemaking from the room above led to us moving rooms?
I think you'd have stayed if it was the second one.
I don't know. What do you want to probe any further?
You might have got into some sort. You might have liked the competition.
Yeah.
If it was the second one.
Hmm? Well, not if
they were just doing that and not playing tennis or something.
I don't know. I mean, it was just listening to it. You know, all the screaming and the shouting, the puffing and the panting, and the yes, yes, yes. And that was just me listening to it. It was kind of very, very loud.
So one of those reasons.
One of those reasons led to me moving hotel rooms.
I mean, it could have technically been both.
Well, yeah, depending on what they were up to. Yeah.
There could have been some leakage still from the room above.
It's definitely water that came in. I'll have you know.
I'm going to go for the lovemaking then. It sounds like it's some sort of offer.
So you think that I would move hotel rooms because we complained that the lovemaking coming from the room above was that loud that it was kind of keeping us awake at night and very off-putting? Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go.
I mean, if you... The hotel we stayed in, fantastic holiday, brilliant. But I can't help think about the holiday they had and think back to the fact that there were some people in the room above us who were just simply shagging all night. I mean, really, we came back from, I don't have a problem with that, but just how loud it is. We came back we've been out for the day, came back about 6 o'clock, and you could hear them at that point.
Is that when we went away with you?
I don't know, definitely not, definitely not.
That's awkward.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Anyway, should we move on?
We can do, yeah. So, are we ready to get in our time machine?
Let's get into the time machine.
And head to the year 2007, because this is what randomly came up.
Let's head back to about 3 weeks ago to the hotel room. That shaggy that was going on.
Here we go. We're going back then to the year 2007. Let's crank up the old time machine.
Graphics department working flat out on that one.
Very good. Have a quick look outside. Is it...
Oh dear, that's
there's no rabbit hutch.
Yep.
There's an Italian lady out there, because that's who used to own this house before me. She was an Italian lady.
Yeah.
She liked the colours purple, so it's full of purple stuff out there. There's no grass, it's just shale.
Yeah.
So
flooding in Sheffield.
Yeah, there is. I mean, well, let's have a look. Okay,
well, so what happened? Yeah, what were the big events?
So the big events in Sheffield of the year. There were these sort of things going on, not just, did I say Sheffield? Anywhere in general, anywhere in the world. Year highlights then. So we're back in 2007, things that were going on this year. There was the credit crunch, global financial crash.
Thank God we've moved away from that. We don't have financial concerns nowadays.
Exactly. Yeah. Glad we're all over all that sort of stuff.
Everyone's loaded in this day and age. Although inflation's half today, was announced.
Was it?
Yeah. It's at 4% now.
Oh, right.
Which means that stuff's only 4% more expensive than it was last year.
It's still getting more expensive, just a bit slower.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So instead of it being 8% more expensive this time last year, I mean, it was 8% like this, it was like 12%, 13% this time last year, but it's now just 4%. So it means over 2 years, it's only up to sort of like 16%, 17%. So, you know, isn't that brilliant?
Well,
what a time to live, what a time to be alive. So Gordon Brown became Prime Minister as well in 2007. Remember him?
Yes, I do remember Gordon Brown. And at the time, he was kind of like, people were a bit like, oh, Gordon Brown, oh.
I don't know what you mean there, Jimbo.
You've met Gordon Brown, haven't you?
I've shook hands with Gordon Brown. He doesn't say the same thing. He doesn't say that he shook hands with me.
You're not the person he called a bigot, are you?
No, it was two days after that, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
2 days after he called me, he called that lady a bigoted woman.
But she was, though, wasn't she?
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, kind of, all this...
At least he was only right.
Yeah, I mean, sort of... Well, I don't want to particularly have a go at this lady whose name currently escapes me, but I'm sure she's had to say something along the lines of, all these Eastern European and Polish people, where are they coming from? Well, Eastern Europe and Poland, I guess, is be a general sort of, you know, normally how it works.
So, yeah, we had that. And then we had the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. I know I kind of put, I know that I put that under highlights.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say that's a highlight, in all honesty, particularly for her family. And
just
and
trying to remind people of the time. Yeah. So it's kind of a highlight. It's a sad highlight. Highlights aren't always happy highlights, obviously.
Yeah. So, well, 16 years ago now, I mean, sort of, yeah.
And there was obviously the release of the first iPhone as well.
Yeah.
So 2007, if you've had an iPhone ever before, then your first one was in 2007. That's when it was first. Well, you might not have got one then, but that's when they first came out.
How much do you think a Mark 1 iPhone is worth?
I might have got, like, I've got a really, really old one somewhere tucked away.
Yeah, so I've seen someone who's got, like, a 3 or a 3G one from years and years and years ago. And they look terrible in this day and age.
But I think I've got one of them. I'm keeping hold of it in case it's ever worth
it. Yeah, it must be worth a few quid, you'd have thought. And, of course, the big one, obviously, was the launch of a popular YouTube series called The Fish Tank. Can you remember that?
I do remember that. I'm not sure why it's on the highlights.
Yeah, ran for 80 episodes, Jim. A fantastic programme. Absolutely brilliant.
If anyone wants to look at that,
we watched it recently in this very shed, on a Friday night after we drank quite a lot of beer.
Last time you was here, we decided to put a few episodes of The Fish Tank on, and honestly, it's funny. He looks very young on it, and when I occasionally appear on it, I look very young as well.
I quite like the episode where I signed on for a new contract and you played a bonkers agent called Is He Mental?
Yeah, if you have a look, what's your YouTube account?
I think it's called Vic4291, sort of after Victor Meldrew, the idea was going to complain about stuff.
Vic4291, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, just a reminder at this point in the show as well, we are on, like, our video of this podcast is on YouTube, so you can find it on YouTube or the Facebook page, wasteofwebspace.code, Waste of Webspace on, what is it, Facebook, just search for it.
Twitter, quite like on Twitter.
Yeah, we're on Twitter as well.
Various other places.
Put it on there as well. Yeah, so you can find it on there, but obviously there's the... We do have a podcast, the actual, for those that are watching, there's an actual podcast on various platforms, all platforms, Spotify, Apple, all of them really. You can find it on there as well.
I think the common phrase nowadays is wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it. And now we're like videoing and stuff.
Yeah.
Which we kind of have always done a bit of video, haven't we?
Yeah.
But we never did the old like and subscribe.
Yeah, we never say that.
Ding. Yeah. Hit the bell.
That's what people do.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm stuck in Stone Age with me, that sort of stuff.
Right, okay. Are you ready then?
Yeah, let's go. Let's jump on to the next bit.
All right. Here we go then. Let's get cracking then, shall we? So, we're going to talk a bit about politics now and politics in 2007. So, you're going to do us a bit of a rundown of the things that happened. And then you've got some quiz questions for me relating to politics in 2007. And obviously, people, you can play along. You can write comments under the video if you are watching it afterwards. You can write them if you're watching live. Or you can just comment on Spotify or wherever you are, wherever you can leave any comments. You can answer the questions yourself. See if you can beat me in this section of the show. So, Fisher, time to do a bit of a politics rundown for us.
Yeah. So Tony Blair was interviewed by police in relation to Cash for Honour scandal. I mean, imagine senior politicians getting arrested and interviewed by the police nowadays. Just simply wouldn't happen, would it? I mean, to be fair, it's probably a slightly more serious offence than Rishi Sunak not wearing a seatbelt in the back of a car or whatever it is. I think, as we mentioned earlier, Gordon Brown became Prime Minister. I've met him. Don't know if you know that. High Speed 1 rail open to the public. Slightly unthinkable in this day and age. Bear in mind, High Speed 2... isn't going to open now from Birmingham onwards.
I don't get all of that, to be honest. A lot of people never really saw the sense in it, but then we're also very annoyed it's not happening at the same time.
Well, yeah, I think when we first started podcasting back in 2013, maybe 2012, 2013, we started podcasting. I can only think of was quite a good joke on the podcast at the time when we're talking about High Speed 2, saying, great advantage of High Speed 2 is it'll take you out of Birmingham in three different directions at 200 miles an hour. Decent. Yeah. Not bad.
We're not going back to that year, though.
Yeah, we're not going back to that year. But now transpires it'll only take you out of Birmingham in one direction, just towards London.
It's been a massive waste of money,
basically. Won't go north. And by the sounds of it, it might not even stop at London. It might not be central London. It might be at sort of a place north London called Old Oak Common. So it's going to connect London to Manchester, aside from the fact it's not going to stop at either London or Manchester. But it can't have everything, can you? So that was there were some of the political stories at the time, and also Nick Clegg became the Lib Dem leader, right, from representing Sheffield constituency. He obviously famously became Deputy Prime Minister for the coalition government.
I once was playing a game of, you know, parte, piñata, and yep. I found a Nick Clegg in my hair once.
Well, that's terrible. I'd make sure he definitely washed it out as fast as you can. But yeah, he was Deputy Prime Minister. David Cameron was Prime Minister for 6 years. And obviously, in 2007, he was leader of the Tories. No idea what David Cameron's up to nowadays. Have you? I've not heard anything from him for years. What about yourself?
Oh, yeah. If we go back to 2023,
yeah,
he's only back, isn't he? He's back on the scene.
Can you believe it?
Unelected, obviously.
Yeah.
Does he get to sit in Parliament then?
Nope. Well, in House of Lords. Oh, shut up, Alexa. We weren't even asking you.
But does he he can't actually be grilled by politicians in there because he's not an MP, mm-hmm. but he's got a job in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Making quite important decisions that technically he should be elected to be able to make.
Wait, I thought so. Well, he's been a member of the House of Lords since Monday, when he was rushed through as a Lord.
All sounds very dodgy to me.
Well, I don't know. But as I say, it is a bit strange. I did mention Tony Blair and the Cash for Honours thing, and we've got a current Prime Minister who decided to make a former Prime Minister Lord in the space of 24 hours because he decided to give him a job as Foreign Secretary.
So he's Foreign Secretary. That means he could negotiate a better deal with Europe, possibly, at some stage. Because obviously someone decided to kind of mess all that up. And who was that?
Well, it's nothing to do with him. To be fair, he campaigned to remain, but lost and then had to resign.
I think it was his idea to do the whole thing in the first place, though, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but he didn't mean to lose. Yeah, he kind of... Mm. The old point was that he was going to win.
No, but I think he promised, didn't he? That he promised... What did he do? It was part of promising an election or something like that, or...
He promised...
If we win the election, then we'll give you this. It was basically something to make people vote for him.
Yeah.
And then it kind of backfired a bit when he had to do it, and then it went the wrong way for him.
I think he was fine with doing it, yeah. So he just thought he was going to win. But he didn't. He lost, and then he kind of made a bit of a mess of things, and that was the end of his premiership, funnily enough. Yeah. But he's back. He's back, yeah. Lock up your pig's heads. Yeah. Have a check. I don't know. Has he got his kids out of the pub, or is he still in there? Who knows? But yeah, Cameron is back.
Okay.
Is that a good thing? Probably not, but at the same time, look who is replaced.
I mean, I have heard that Rishi Sunak is considering digging up Margaret Thatcher to make her the levelling down secretary.
Yeah. It's just sort of a very strange thing. Maybe we're going to get... We could get them all back. John Major. How old will he be? Obviously, Thatcher is dead and has obviously, therefore, got no emotions nowadays. But
unavailable.
Yeah.
She never did anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. Go on then. Have you got some questions?
I've got a couple of questions about politics. So, politics. Who did Nick Clegg replace as Liberal Democrat leader? Was it Sir Menzies Campbell or Charles Kennedy?
I knew you were going to say him. Now I was going to say Charles Kennedy, because that was the one that I had in my head.
Mm.
But I'm thinking there might have been somebody in between now. But I'm going to stick with what my gut was before you gave me the multiple choice, and I'm going to say, yeah, it was Charles Kennedy.
And you would be wrong. It was Sir Menzies Campbell. So, Sir Menzies Campbell, the former Liberal Democrat leader, was an aspiring sportsman in his day. What is true about him? Is it he won a bronze medal for Team GB in the 1960 Olympics in Rome in the Coxless Four alongside Tom Stewart, the brother of Rod Stewart.
In the what, sorry?
Coxless Fours. So basically female athletes. No. do you know what a cox is in a rowing boat? The cox is
it's the person who sits at the front.
Sits at the front, yeah.
So they don't have somebody sitting at the front in this?
In the coxless ones, they don't have someone sitting at the front guiding them. They have to sort of work out the way themselves.
Right, okay.
It was fantastic. I watched a boat race a couple of years ago when the Queen was giving out the medals afterwards and she kissed the cox of the winning crew.
Come on.
Yeah, okay, sorry. So was it that? Or was it that he held the British 100-meter record for a number of years? When setting a personal best in 1967, he beat a field that contained O.J. Simpson. So was he a rower and rowed alongside Rod Stewart's brother? Or did he hold the British 100-meter record and he once beat O.J. Simpson?
Your questions are so hard because they're so detailed answers. I'm gonna say the first one. No, I'm not. I'm gonna say the second one, and the reason is, and it's not really a very good reason, but I think Rowan is a bit of a. I'm not saying this guy isn't posh, but he might not be as posh as
other politicians.
Exactly. So I'm gonna say he was running instead
because he's not as posh.
Yeah.
You'd be right. Yeah, he did.
Hey.
Beat O.J. Simpson apparently. Had a relatively decorated career as an Olympic athlete. As an athlete, he was particularly good at the World Student Games. Won a gold in Portugal in the 4x400 meters, and also got a bronze in Tokyo. Looks like he was. I'm not being funny or anything, but he first represented Britain in the Student Games in 1961 and finished in 1967. So how long was he actually at university for? Be like when you watch University Challenge, there's a bloke who's 40-odd-year-old on it.
Some people just try and stay there as long as they can.
Exactly. Apparently, that year he also won the Scotland under-12s 100-metre record. Yeah. Anyway, next up. How did John Smeaton make the news in 2007? Did he tackle a terrorist at Glasgow Airport, or did his dog bite Labour politician Hazel Blears?
So John Smeaton.
John Smeaton.
Have you got any more details? Did he give you any information about John Smeaton?
No, it's just a bloke called John Smeaton.
So either he tackled a
terrorist at Glasgow Airport, or his dog bit Labour politician Hazel Blears.
Now I'm gonna pick. I've got a good reason for choosing this next answer. Yep. We are in the politics section of the show, so if it was number one,
yeah,
this then I don't know what I mean. I know that terrorism is a political issue. But I think number two is more of a politics related thing. So yeah. I'm going to say the dog bit someone, bit this Labour politician.
No, you're wrong. It's number one because ultimately terrorism is politics. It's a political issue, isn't it? So kind of. Oh, don't look at me like that. It is. It's big sort of foreign affairs and sort of home security stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to create a separate section just for terrorism. So
yeah. So he saw police, apparently, going to Wikipedia, he saw police grappling with one of the attackers and he thought, you're not hitting the police, mate. There's no chance. As well as saying, if there's any more extremists, I'll not do the accent, as if there's any more extremists still wanting to rise up and start trouble, know this, we'll rise right back up against you. New York, Madrid, London, Paisley, we're all in this together. Make no mistake, none of us will hold back from putting the boot in. I think it was suggested he maybe didn't quite do as much as he claimed afterwards in his sort of interviews with the press. It was claimed that one person, I think a terrorist, was basically on fire, and one Scottish bloke basically ran up and kicked him in the bollocks just to make sure he kind of definitely was in pain.
Right.
Yeah, being on fire obviously isn't enough. So my final question, I think this probably is political, or should be political enough for you. What was banned in 2007? Was it smoking in pubs or fox hunting?
Ah, yeah. Oh, this is difficult. Because I remember working. You know, we should ask everybody as well, you know, where were you in 2007? What were you doing? Where was you in your life?
I was hunting with a fox that was smoking in a pub.
But it's a good point. We should ask people this because we are going back in time. We'd like to know what you were doing in 2007. Was it a certain point in your life you remember for doing anything in particular? Did it have any highlights? But 2007 for me, what?
Yeah, sorry, just what? Carry on.
Why?
No, I think... Carry on. Yeah. Say what you're going to say, and then I'll say what I'm about to say in a minute.
In 2007, I remember this... Forget 2007. I remember the smoking ban, because I was still working at Meadow Farm, which is a local family pub restaurant thing. A bit like a Green Kingy type, you know, where you can get your carveries and stuff like that, you know. And they used to have smoking indoors, and that you know, even now I think, God, that was so weird that they, you know, you did that. And that was 2004 to 2006-ish, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, Did it? No, it didn't.
Can you not remember they used to have fox hunting as well, and to get the carver, they just used to kill the fox and chuck him straight on the plate, and it were fine.
Right. I think it was the smoking ban. I think it came in 2007, when I was at uni, because I remember driving home from uni and there was a pub called the Rising Sun in Barnsley that flouted the law, and they did something like they've allowed, I don't know if they did like built an extra building attached to the pub and said it wasn't the pub and let them smoke in it. it not quite like a smoking shelter, but something else. They got into a bit of trouble over it. So I reckon, yeah, that was 2007. So I'm going to say the smoking ban was 2007.
Was it a bit like COVID, where you couldn't drink unless you're having a substantial meal? So some breweries started creating a pint called the substantial meal and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to go smoking ban.
Yes.
You'd be right. Well done.
Hey.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is you were sort of like saying, where were you and what you were doing? I think you've done some research on the wrong year here, unfortunately.
Why?
Because you were, yeah, before we started this, you put something about Barack Obama.
Yes.
Being inaugurated. And I said it was inaugurated in 2009. And you've also got on one of the next slides coming. What do you want to put the next slide up about entertainment in 2007?
Not yet. No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a politics section done anyway.
So what are you saying? We've got the wrong year here.
I'm not saying we've got the wrong year, but you've got a reference to Michael Jackson dying.
No, he did. That's right.
I know he died. Yeah, everyone heard.
No, it's right. That's 2007's right. It's correct, because I went to...
His funeral.
Hold on.
No, I don't think
it is. No, that was 2009 as well,
wasn't
it? I
thought it was 2009, yeah. Because I know where I was.
Right.
And I know it was 2009 because of the circumstances at the time. So I think... So let's have a look at what you've got anyway for entertainment in either 2000... I think this time machine might be kind of just zigzagging between a couple of years.
All right.
I did ring you up just before this podcast saying we are doing 2007. I did. I literally did.
Is this why?
No. It's only just because I wanted to make sure I'd got the right year. It didn't occur to me you might have got the wrong one.
Okay. Right. Death of Michael Jackson.
That was 2009.
It was, yeah.
Britney right. Spears going off the rails. That could have been any time.
No, that was right. That was definitely right. Harry Potter book release. Definitely right.
I think that's right, yeah.
That one slipped in. Forget that. He didn't die in 2007.
We'll talk about it anyway.
But yeah. He probably announced maybe his...
He might have been on trial.
Yeah. or he might have announced his tour. His big gigs that he was going to do. That effectively killed him.
It was... Yes, I can't remember what it was called now. He was doing some kind of tour. It was meant to be the O2 in...
Yeah.
Obviously, it was quite woke compared to... for the time in particular, wasn't he? If you remember, Michael Jackson, very, very, very woke. Very keen on his personal pronouns. He said his pronouns were he.
Very clever. Very good. But anyway, are you ready for a rundown of 2007?
Yeah, or 9.
Look, I'll just give this time machine a kick. It's needs a bit of oil, that's all. It's not going to get everything right, is it? You know,
exactly. Go on, let's have a rundown of it.
Right, here we go then. Listen up, everybody. So let's go back and look at the year 2007 in the world of entertainment. 2007 was the year Britney Spears had her very public breakdown and shaved off all her hair. Thankfully, she seems fine now. Rihanna had the biggest hit of the summer holidays with a song about rain and umbrellas, which actually turned out to be a very wet summer. Sheffield in particular being subject to lots of flooding. You may remember the pictures of Hillsborough Stadium. The Arctic Monkeys released their second album, Favourite Worst Nightmare. There were other big chart hits for the likes of Beyoncé with Irreplaceable, Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees. Leon Jackson won The X Factor, Alicia Dixon won Strictly Come Dancing, Christopher Biggins won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Transformers was a big hit at the movie box office, as was Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, Spider-Man 3, Harry Potter, Order of the Phoenix, and Shrek the Third. Sacha Baron Cohen accidentally sat on Eminem's face at the MTV Movie Awards. And Kanye West famously stormed the stage, interrupting Taylor Swift's MTV Video's award acceptance speech. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black tape. Well, there you go. Entertainment in 2007, then. Was that a nice little trip down memory lane of things that probably happened in 2009?
Yeah, it was great.
No, I'm pretty sure they were all 2007.
I've got no evidence to suggest otherwise. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, I think, pretty much came out around 2006-7, didn't she? Mm. She's massive now. Mm. So I think Kanye West storming the stage, saying, did they say it should go to Beyonce? I think the award obviously... Massive
well,
still,
I think but... he had the face on because he's always been big on his making his music videos and stuff like that, hasn't he? By the way, when we got I asked about people and what they were doing in 2007. Jan was a bouncer, which I know well from our Ale and Audio podcast. I know that Jan was a bouncer. I've met Jan before. I'll be seeing her again on Saturday.
What are you doing on Saturday?
We're going off. I'm going to a 40th birthday of a fellow Sheddy and fellow podcaster in Stoke.
Oh.
Jan was 13 2007.
Hmm.
That's giving away her age now. If you're good enough at maths, you can do it on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to attempt it.
You'll probably think it's 2009 still, and it'll look 2 years off, Jan. So well done.
So I've got some entertainment questions for you. Okay.
Yep.
Things that happened in 2007. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, as this podcast is, we always pick out the unusual stuff. We like to take you down memory lane and show you the things that happened, you know, and was relevant at that time and all that kind of thing. But we always pick out the silly stuff, really. Okay. So my questions for you then, Fisher, what did Paris Hilton, you remember Paris Hilton?
Oh, I've seen her. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I know she is. Yeah.
You've seen her on what, Fisher?
I've seen her trying to sing a couple of songs badly.
Have you ever seen any videos?
No, nah,
music videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did Paris Hilton drop into a nightclub toilet in 2007?
Oh, I wouldn't even begin to imagine.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, what does everybody else drop into toilets?
Yeah.
It's not that kind of question. Right. What did Paris Hilton drop into a toilet in 2007? A, her miniature teacup chihuahua.
Oh, surely not.
I mean, we've all seen a chihuahua before, haven't we? What? It's famous, that chihuahua. Right. B, was it her diamond encrusted mobile phone? So A, was it a miniature teacup chihuahua? Or B, her diamond encrusted mobile phone that she dropped down the toilet?
Right. Was it an original iPhone? iPhone 1?
I had no idea.
That kind of time probably popular for diamond encrusted. Yeah, it's still popular, isn't it? Posh people have got these fancy phone cases and covers and stuff. So I'm going to say, I mean, you'd like to think, surely you can't take a dog into a nightclub anyway. It's only a little handbag type dog.
Celebrity kind of nightclub. You know what they're like. Celebrities allowed to do this and that, aren't they?
I went in one once, celebrity type nightclub. Mm. Yeah. I was going in. Lewis Hamilton, Nicole Scherzinger were coming out.
All right, okay. Yeah. Is that because they saw you, so they walked out?
No, they were coming out anyway. And then they went in. Didn't really like it in there. Felt a bit uncomfortable. There were a couple of people you see in the newspapers in there.
What nightclub was that then? Chat club.
It's called 50.
50
in London, Mayfair in London.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's closed now.
Okay,
I've not been in for a while. That's why. Celebrities didn't fancy going in anymore once I've been going in there. They all left. So what did she drop in the toilet? I'm going to say a mobile phone. A diamond-encrusted mobile phone.
Okay, and you are correct. Well done, Fisher. Congratulations. Yes, you did drop her diamond-encrusted mobile phone down the toilet. Number two, Oasis reunited in 2007, but controversially cancelled their performance at V Festival. How long before they were due to perform did they cancel it? Was it either A, the week before, B, the night before, or C, a few minutes before?
I'd suspect, I mean, V Festival, is that on other two different sites and you kind of perform at one place on one day and then another place on the other day? I don't know. I know that's the case with the Leeds Reading Festival and all that sort of stuff and a couple of others.
Is it even a thing anymore, V Festival? It used to be on telly and everything, didn't it, on Channel 4? But
I don't know. I lose interest. You know, the BBC go bonkers for Glastonbury, obviously. I watched Glastonbury this year. Did you watch it this year, Elton John? I thought the computer graphics to reanimate him was really, really good. I think you're just looking at the information here. I'm guessing it was probably 2009, wasn't it? Where you're giggling there. But the same question applies anyway.
I don't know what's happened.
Yeah. Did they cancel it a whole 2 years before they were due to go on stage? Cancel it in 2007 or due on stage in 2009? I think it was literally a couple of minutes beforehand.
You are correct, yes. You are. Apparently, I mean, unless they cancelled it twice and they cancelled it again a few years later. But my point is, I think they did reunite in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 2009.
Yeah. That's an acceptable question to ask you.
So that kind of works still. Yeah. But there you go. It was in 2009 that apparently this happened. So well done. You've got two out of the three correct.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure this is 2007.
Yep.
So Kanye West was in the news in 2007. As we mentioned earlier, for storming onto the stage during Taylor Swift's acceptance speech at the MTV Music Video Awards. That year, he was also in the news for which of these things? Okay. A, falling down a hole on stage during a live performance in London while performing his hit Stronger. B, while performing his hit Stronger on Saturday Night Live, his trousers ripped right in the middle of the song on live television. Or C, While performing during a concert in Australia, he stopped his performance to question why a fan wasn't stood up dancing, so he sent his bodyguard to go have a word with the fan, as he insisted everyone should be stood up dancing. Turned out the fan was in a wheelchair.
Did he fall? I can't remember him falling down the stage. I remember Jim McCollins doing it, a couple of other people falling down stages, obviously. Someone fell off the stage recently.
Jan got the previous answer correct, by the way, a few minutes before.
Yeah. She's only just said that now. So
No, she
said that a few minutes before.
There's a delay. Delay. But thanks, Jan. We saw it. We spotted it.
Yeah, we seen it. Spotted it. So I can't remember him falling down stage. And I think someone recently fell off the stage, didn't they? I can't remember who it was. But we've been 2007, so who knows what happened recently. His trousers ripped on Saturday Night Live. I can't remember that. And to be fair, I can't remember him telling the disabled fan to stand up and get dancing. But Kanye West does strike me as that kind of dick who would sort of do that. So I'm going to say it was that.
Okay, this is quite a unique question because you are correct. But you couldn't have got it wrong because every one of those is correct. He did all those things in 2007. So, yeah, that is typically Kanye West fear, isn't it? So, yeah.
What's happened with his shoes? Because obviously, it's had this thing with Adidas where they basically have got a load of Kanye West shoes that they don't want to sell because it's cut ties with them. So, it's kind of what we're supposed to do with them. So, I think it was a suggestion they might kind of basically kit out sort of loads of people in the third world and who need sort of impoverished people who need shoes will kind of get Kanye West branded Adidas shoes potentially. All that sort of
sounds
stuff.
Good, but it's positive.
It's better than just burning them and kind of getting rid of them and wasting them, but yeah.
Exactly. I agree. Go. Right, are we moving on?
Yep.
Okay then. So, Fisher, I think we're into the sports section, is that right?
A bit of sport, yeah.
A bit of sport. So, we've got some highlights here. Things to remind you of, things that went on in 2007 in the world of sports.
Yeah, Wembley Stadium reopened. Used to be called Wembley, and now it's called Wembley. It's got New Wembley. They call White Hart Lane New White Hart Lane, don't they, you think? I don't know if they call Wembley New Wembley. Or
I think just call it Wembley, don't Wembley, they?
Yeah. Sheffield United were relegated from the Premier League. Thank God we're living in light times. That's not going to happen this year, is it? after Carlos Tevez affair as well, with I think West Ham would sort of certainly find and dock points. There was very strange things happening around his transfer, and he sort of scored a lot of goals towards the end of the season. And kind of it was probably the main difference between Sheffield United staying up and going down. Ice hockey's Anaheim's Mighty Ducks won the Stanley Cup for the first time. I've just ruined that. Anaheim, they're called the Anaheim Ducks. What did I just say? You weren't even listening anyway.
Anaheim Ducks?
Anaheim Ducks, yeah. I think I might have called them something different first time round. But do you know what they used to be called?
I don't know. I thought you just said Anaheim Ducks.
All right, okay. I thought I said Anaheim Mighty Ducks because that's what they used to be called.
Oh, right, okay. Now,
so do you know who owned the franchise for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, a professional ice hockey team in America, based in California?
It's not somebody to do with the Sheffield Steelers, is it?
It's nothing to do with that. It was Walt Disney.
Oh, right, okay. Because they had films and stuff about them,
the Mighty Ducks films, yeah.
Yeah.
So they had the Mighty Ducks film first, then they went and bought a franchise, called the team the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and then after a few years, I think after about 10 years or so, they got rid of the Mighty name and just called them the Anaheim Ducks.
Is that because they weren't as good anymore?
I don't know. I think sort of the film about 15 years ago by that point, and sort of no one had heard of it and didn't quite get the joke. That was that. And Australia beat Sri Lanka in the Cricket World Cup final with England failing to qualify for the semi-finals. So again, thank God we live in enlightened times. That's not happening now. We've just put in the worst performance in the World Cup known to man. So
it could easily transfer over to football, and you could just talk about an England sport team.
Yeah,
not getting through to certain rounds or finals. But I don't know. I think England, the football team wise. Better things to come, I think.
Yeah, of course, obviously, 2007, very different to 2023. England were in the Rugby World Cup and nearly won, but they lost to South Africa. Oh, no, wait, exactly the same thing happened again this year, yeah. You're not massively into your rugby, are you? But South Africa, I will not fault a team that wins the World Cup, but they had a quarterfinal where they... Have you any idea what happens in sort of other sports other than football?
They have quarterfinals and finals.
Yeah, but do you know what the results were? So, for example, did you watch a Rugby World Cup final?
I know that we didn't win the final? And I don't even know if we were in the final.
We weren't in the final. We got knocked out in the semi-final. South Africa won the Rugby World Cup.
Right.
They beat France in the quarterfinal in what was probably as good a game of rugby as you're ever going to see. They beat them by 1 point. Can't remember the final score, but bear in mind, it's like football where you kind
of... Not 2-1, is it? It's like 49...
Yeah, that sort of stuff. They won by one point.
Okay.
They beat England in the semi-final by 1 point. And in the final, they beat New Zealand. Guess how many points they beat them by?
One.
By 1 point. So that is...
It's a bit about like when Huddersfield beat Sheffield Wednesday to the Premiership in the playoffs a few years ago when they just kept winning on penalties, didn't they?
Yeah. Or to be fair, I mean, let's be honest, we're Wednesday fans. Yeah. We managed to get promoted to the Championship this year, having lost 4-0.
Yeah.
We managed to just claw it back, win on penalties, and then... Was it nil-nil?
It was nil-nil most of the game we scored in the last...
We scored in the 124th minute of something, yeah. So over semi-final and final, we were actually in the lead for about 30 seconds at the very end of it, but there we go. So anyway, but I've got some sport questions.
Yep. Ready.
So, I mean, the first one's not really a sport question, but who were the first music act to perform at the new Wembley Stadium? Was it... Or do you want the options?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Muse or George Michael?
Ooh. Okay. I'm trying to think back to... Because I know George Michael tended to feature in a lot of our fish tank things that we did.
Probably because he's crashed the car all the time.
Yeah, but he also wasn't well at certain times. Wasn't performing very often at certain times. Mm. But I think that might have been a few years after. Maybe 2008, 2009 that a lot of that happened. Mm. So, yeah, I might go George Michael.
You'd be right, well done. I don't think he was meant to be the first one. I think Muse were originally meant to be the first one, but they sort of very quickly, for some reason, crowbarred a George Michael gig in there beforehand. I think
apparently Muse fell down a supermassive black hole, didn't they?
It'd have been dubbed by your rabbit.
Yeah, that's it.
So what happened when they were laying the pitch at the new Wembley? Was it that they dug down and found the foundations of the Walkin Tower, a failed attempt for London to build a structure similar to the Eiffel Tower? Or is it they found a skeleton that scientists suggested dated for around 1900 to 1905?
Okay. Ooh. Both very interesting. Mm. And I didn't know either. Well, I don't know the answer. So I'm going to have to guess. I reckon... I'm going to say it's the tower one.
Mm. You'd be right.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently... A number of years ago, Britain were going to build some kind of rival to the Eiffel Tower.
They've kind of got one already, haven't they?
Blackpool, yeah. Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Emily Moore, I don't know. Mm. But I mean, what's the point in the Eiffel Tower? It's just a big lump of metal in the middle of the... You know, it's not that impressive. Have you ever been to the Olympic Stadium and seen the... Is it the Mittal Orbital, I think? Something like that. It's got a slide around the side of it. It's just like a metal structure. Just look at it and think, yeah, it's a metal structure. It's not that I've never seen the Eiffel Tower, in fairness, so I don't know how impressive that is. But we want to build something similar. Built the foundations, then realised it wasn't going to happen. Built Wembley Stadium over the top of it. But when they came to build the actual pitch, they lowered the pitch.
All right,
so when they lowered the pitch, they then hit the foundations of the tower.
Did they have to dig those up then, or do you think they went over the top of them? Or
I don't know. I didn't research that much.
Okay. Interesting.
Anyway, next question. We mentioned the Cricket World Cup. In one of the greatest World Cup upsets, what happened to Pakistan? Is it they lost to Ireland on St. Patrick's Day, or they lost to the United States on Independence Day?
Ooh, and what we're talking about here, cricket?
Cricket World Cup. Pakistan played a game against either Ireland or America on either St. Patrick's Day or Independence Day, and they lost. Which one was it?
So that both results are quite a shock. Jan thought it was the skeleton that they found, by the way. So I got the wrong answer there. That's just both quite shock results, aren't they, for Pakistan? Because they're a very good cricket team, as far as I'm aware. So I'm going to say, but which is the biggest shock? Now, I don't know who's better between, generally, and over the years, who's better between Ireland and the United States. But being that cricket's got quite a deep root within British sport, I mean, I know, obviously, America is ultimately derived from British sport eventually. Yeah. You know, but I'm going to say Ireland.
It's not as though America's close to the Caribbean where they quite like cricket or anything like that, is it?
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, I don't know.
Indeed.
Jan says she's better at beer questions. Have we got any beer questions?
No.
No. Never mind. She was very good. She actually stepped in on the Ale and Audio podcast over there. She filled in for one of our regulars and she did very, very well.
Oh, didn't ask me to do it, though. We've done nearly done 120 podcasts together.
We can do it next time.
All right, okay, we'll do.
Okay. Would you have got any of the beer questions correct?
Yeah, of course I do. I love a bit of beer, me. I mean, I drank ale and stuff before, well before you did, didn't I?
I did. Anyway, I'm going to say, you've changed your mind now.
Okay.
I'm going to go United States.
Okay. I love it how easy it is to change your mind on stuff. You're wrong. so it was, they lost to Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. Probably the biggest victory at the time, probably the biggest victory for Ireland. Although they managed to supersede that 4 years later when they beat England.
See, I could do another. I mean, I don't know how many fans there are of Irish cricket in Ireland, but there's always like quiz questions relating to beer questions. Mm-hmm. Talk about beer questions about how many pints of Guinness are consumed each year and stuff like that. I wonder if that year had more pints of Guinness consumed because they beat Pakistan on St. Patrick's Day as well.
Maybe. So, what happened to the coach of the Pakistan team the next day after their loss to Ireland? Was he sacked or did he die?
Ooh. I mean, one of them's really sad. Well, they're both sad in a sense. But, I mean, the second one's quite horrific. I'm going to have to say that one because of the fact you've included it. So, I'm going to have to say he died.
Unfortunately, yes, he did sadly die.
It sounds like I'm celebrating that. Because I ain't got the applause anymore.
He died. Now, it was a massive controversy at the time, obviously, because it was suggested by the police force in, I think, possibly Jamaica, but I'm not 100% certain, that basically he'd been strangled and he'd been killed. But then sort of, that was a result of the autopsy at the time. Although sort of 6 months later, it was then suggested that he'd died of a heart attack and died of natural causes. So there was at one point a bit of a manhunt, sort of trying to work out if one of his players had killed him or something, or what happened. Was it some kind of revenge for losing a game of cricket the day before? But Pakistan coach Bob Bulmer sadly passed away the day after they lost to Ireland.
Did they ever get to the bottom of it?
I just said that, didn't I? They believe it was. Okay. Do you not listen to anything I say?
I didn't listen to that bit. I was thinking about what I'm doing next.
Yeah, okay. as I say, they think. Latterly, they think he actually died of natural causes and he had a heart attack and that's what killed him. But as a sign, will we ever know?
Well, there we go. Thank you for that, Fisher. I enjoyed the sports section. As we move on to the next bit. So now we are going to be doing looking at science and technology. Okay, so science and technology then in 2007. So here we go. So first of all, you had the launch of the iPhone, the first iPhone, and the launch of Amazon Kindle in the same year.
Yeah.
Which was a big thing for ebooks, really, weren't it? That kind of really kicked off the ebook thing. There was also the launch of Twitter, which is now X.
Yeah.
Twitter. It was always better as Twitter, weren't it?
You were saying earlier on, you don't really like Twitter now.
I used to love it. We used to love Twitter, didn't we?
It's just the fact you can't retweet anything. You have to repost it or you re-X it. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't work as well.
Pain in the backside.
Yeah. There's that. There was the Blu-ray discs as well. Were apparently launched in 2007. Blu-ray became a thing.
Yeah. Did you have a Blu-ray player?
Nope. Did you?
Still got one.
Were they any good?
Yeah, they're all right. But I don't see why they're better than a normal DVD disc.
I mean, they're both kind of obsolete a bit now anyway, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, when did you last buy a DVD? Or just stream everything on Amazon Prime, Netflix, whatever.
Exactly. I've got like lots of DVDs I kind of want to keep, you know, like the Disney ones and stuff like that. Mm. And I think, you know, but what am I going to do with
Disney? Why would you keep Disney DVDs?
Because they're like sentimental for little, and aren't they? Like, you know, like your Disney videos and stuff you used to have. They're like, you know, special.
Get them on Disney Plus.
But exactly. Well, yeah. I've got Disney Plus. Yeah. It's like, what's the point? I do need to get rid of them, but it's like, what do you do with them? Where do you send them?
Yeah.
So anyway, last thing, discovery of new exoplanet, Gliese 581c.
Well, thanks for that. you know about as much as I do about it, I suppose.
Yeah, that's all. No, but it, apparently it's a planet that could potentially host life.
Yeah.
So on to science and technology questions then I've got for you. Okay, so in 2007, a group of scientists at the University of Bristol conducted a study on what? Either, could be in 2009, okay. Either on the perfect way to dunk a biscuit or cookie in tea. Or was it on the healthiest temperature and speeds to drink a tea or a coffee.
Well, it don't surprise me that sort of people do this kind of research. I don't know why they do it, but it's just a bit sort of, you know, it's a popular thing, isn't it? I'm sure there was someone at Leeds University a number of years ago worked out the correct formula for flipping a pancake, depending on how big your frying pan is and all that sort of stuff. And it's a bit of a waste of time. Do people care? Do people pay any interest? I'm sure they'll work out what the best way to do it is. Waste of time, yeah. So it's either the best way to dunk a biscuit or the right speed at which to dunk to drink your drink. I think that's probably more merit in sort of doing the scientific study of what speed to drink it and what temperature to drink it at. So I'm going to say the second one.
And you would be wrong. Yeah, it's not. It's the biscuit one. So they use a mathematical model to determine the optimal dunking time to achieve the perfect balance between biscuit texture and tea absorption. Can you imagine if we were doing that experiment in our science lessons in GCSE science?
You'd have ruined it again. Always.
You'd have soggy biscuits everywhere.
Yeah. I beg your pardon.
You'd have been covered. you'd have been covered in biscuit.
Yeah. Do you dunk?
I do. I'm a dunker.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't dunked for years.
I dunk on every bite as well. I'm not just a dunk once and eat the whole biscuit. I'm dunk, eat, dunk, eat, dunk, eat, dunk, eat. But you got to be careful because I don't like the gathering of crap in the bottom of your
people
teeth.
Watching you dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For anyone who was watching, I did used to ruin, my thing was to ruin Fisher's science experiments when we were sitting next to each other in GCSE science.
Yeah. So what's your favourite biscuit to dunk with?
I quite like a traditional chocolate digestive dunking and that, because I like the slight meltiness of the chocolate.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you combine that with a hobnob, as everyone knows, down to Peter Kay's and his biscuit stuff, if you combine that with the chocolate hobnob, you kind of get longer dunkage as well, don't you, sir?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably all my favourite biscuits, chocolate hobnob. But
there you go. Next, then. I probably would have had some if I'd not eaten.
Yeah.
I could have offered you one. Sorry. Okay, then, next. So we're talking about the iPhone now, and the iPhone was first released in 2007, okay? So what happened when Steve Jobs was trying to demonstrate the iPhone's web browsing capabilities at its big launch in 2007? Either A, he dropped and smashed the phone's screen, or B, the iPhone wouldn't connect to the Wi-Fi.
I remember there being a cock-up with it once. Ah, what I remember the cock-up was... And this was a number of years ago when they did the Face ID unlock stuff that it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was that they kind of got someone to basically take the phone out, like the, you know, the YTS person, sort of office junior, to take the phone out. And when they'd been taking it out, it kind of focused on their face and locked. So when, I don't think it was Steve Jobs, probably Tim Cook actually, or Tim Apple as Donald Trump called him, doing the gig, he tried to demonstrate it. And it was locked to unlock on his face. I do remember they do have cock-ups on it. But is it going to be that he dropped it? Which is not really a technology failure. It's just he dropped it.
But or... the iPhones have always been notorious for having the screen smash, aren't they? And
yeah.
People having smashed iPhone screens.
Is it not connecting to the web browser? Now, how big was 2007? How good was Wi-Fi back in those days? Not as good as it is now, is it? I'm going to say that it didn't connect it to the Wi-Fi.
Okay. And you would be... Correct, yes. Sorry, correct, yeah. At the first iPhone launch, 2007, they were trying to demonstrate its web browsing capabilities, only they couldn't get it to connect to the Wi-Fi. So, there you go. But iPhone is obviously, you know, I mean, here's one now. Everyone's got them, aren't they, really? I kind of want to move off iPhone, but I didn't.
Everything's on there, isn't it?
I'm stuck with it. So, anyway. Right, next question then. Which of these strange things occurred in 2007? We have a few comments come through. Let's have a look. Wi-Fi, yeah. We got it right.
Yeah.
And also, Jan also got the biscuits one right as well. There we go. So full marks in the science and technology round so far to Jan. So next question then is, which of these strange things happened or occurred in 2007? A, pigs flew, or B, hell froze over?
By pigs flew, do you mean swine flew?
Not saying anything.
Or hell freezing over. I mean, it's replacing hell. It must be a place called hell that may have frozen over. It was 2007 a particularly cold winter? I can't really remember. I remember 2000. I think what year is now? 2000. I remember 2009 being particularly cold. I can't remember 2007 being particularly cold, in all honesty. Pigs flew. I'm going to say it might have been swine flu. And that is why pigs flew. because swine flu was a popular epidemic. Fortunately, we don't have problems with pandemics and all that sort of stuff anymore. So we're absolutely fine. So I'm going to say pig's flu. And what it was actually was the swine flu epidemic.
And you would be wrong. No, it was hell freezing over. There is a place in Norway called Hell. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe some of our beer lovers, I know, I'm sure one of our beer lovers on Ale and Audio podcast listeners have been there before, mm-hmm. and because they'd been on the train or the road to Hell sort of thing.
Yeah.
But apparently, yeah, in 2007 in particular, I mean, it apparently does sort of freeze over every year, really, because it's a cold place. But in 2007 in particular, there was this like rain fall and it kind of instantly froze as it sort of like landed and stuff like that. And it was a bit of a strange phenomenon at the time. She didn't get a full marks, did Jan at the Box and Hounds. She went for pig's flu as well. But that was sensible. That's good thinking because that might have been around that time. Swine flu. Not sure.
I don't know. It's not.
I don't know.
You didn't check.
No. Because my thing was actually pig's flu.
Yeah. All right. I can't see how it's spelt from the way you say it out.
I'm not. No, I'm just. I know you can't, but yeah. I was thought that was quite a clever way to make you think. So
good question.
There we go. Yeah. So there you go. I think you got one out of the three there, Fisher. Right,
sure. Just show off. I can't remember you doing much better, to be fair.
Well, anyway.
So yeah, that was a very good, fantastic progress in terms of science and technology. Just think where we are now, though, compared to. They were talking about DVDs and Blu-rays. When I got married in 2016, I'm sure we got as a wedding present, we bought a smart DVD player, a smart Blu-ray DVD player. So it can kind of, it got like the BBC iPlayer app and all that sort of stuff. And just think that we don't watch DVDs anymore. And just the idea that you wouldn't just kind of get an Amazon Fire Stick for 25, 30 quid.
It's smaller and plugged into the back of your telly.
Plugged into the back of your telly. It's just, and that's just, everyone's got them. I suspect loads of people have got them nowadays. Just a commonplace thing of, bang, and that's what you do. That's how much technology moves so quickly it becomes commonplace.
So, which is why it's worth going back and visiting, isn't it? To see exactly what it was like back then. So there we go.
So
Have we nearly got to the end then, Fisher?
Nearly. So we might have to press pause on the tape that we're recording this on. that's how it works, isn't it? We're in 2007.
Just thought I'd say, kind of things we're going to do in, because we're stuck here in 2007 now, aren't we? Until we decide where we're going next, and until the next episode, we're going to stay here, aren't we?
We are.
So where were we at the start of the episode? 2014, were we?
If we keep up this stupid pretense that that's where we were, then yes, that's where we were.
Stupid pretense. Stop ruining the magic. Yeah. Right. Anyway, so before we go. I am going to go and have a game on Wii Sports and play Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Because that was a big thing in 2007. Actually launched in 2006, but at the end of the year. So people got them for Christmas and were playing Wii in 2007.
I'll be honest, that was a bit of a project during lockdown. Obviously, we're in 2007, so lockdown hasn't happened yet. But if we were to go to the 2020 lockdown, that was something I did quite a lot, was try and boost my ranking on Wii Tennis. And sort of, I got into it a little bit. I'm not sure if you used to play it or...
Wii Sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Guitar Hero was never that good.
Do you know Wii Sports though, right? Do you remember that like you had to make your own little characters?
You could create Miis, I think, were they called, yeah.
So our Nintendo Wii has been in the loft for years. Right, years. And then obviously we've got Ada and she's starting to get into video games now. She's playing games on her phone and her phone on our phones and on her iPad and stuff. So we thought, I think it was maybe last Christmas or something, we decided to get the Nintendo Wii out, dust it off and think she might like this now, a bit of bowling, tennis and all them kind of things you can do. And I think we've got a Harry Potter game and stuff. But you make your own little Wii character, don't you? Little avatar. So we loaded up the Wii, right? And... They might be listening. I'm not going to say anyone's name.
Yeah.
But we used to make in the family members made every character, and there was somebody there mm-hmm. who's no longer in the family because they were like an ex boyfriend of someone in the family.
Yeah.
But they existed as a Wii avatar.
Yeah.
Which I found quite spooky that he was still there existing in this, and it's not real, obviously. But he's existing as a little character with a name on it and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very much the same. So, unfortunately, a few days ago, kind of marked 10 years since my mother-in-law sort of sadly passed away. I didn't particularly have a chance to get to meet on that many occasions because I'd only started going out with my wife. Well, I wasn't one wife at the time, obviously, but we only just started seeing each other. And, so I got to meet her mother on a handful of occasions. She was a fantastic lady who I know if she'd still been around, I would have got on really well with and, we would have had a great relationship. But I can't help think that it's really frustrating that sort of the most recent communications I've had with her is basically when I've been pelting with snowballs on the on the Nintendo Wii because there's a me character comes out and it's kind of like, oh, there we are, bang. And I thought, well, I can't get let sentiment get in the way of it because she's a character on there that was created years ago. That's probably the terrible as though it sounds, but the amount of times I think, and I have to do it, if you play the game where you're like trying to avoid the snowballs and you like fire them at, and you have to like do it and sort of like just apologize to my officer. Yeah, I'm sorry, I've just pelted your mum with some snowballs. That's terrible, but yeah, not good at all.
I wonder if anybody else listening's got an old Nintendo Wii that you could dig out and see who's sort of spookily hanging around in the background and you're in the sort of what they call a Mii's, I think.
Mii's,
So go and have a look who's still knocking about. It's all a bit Jumanji, isn't it? If you've watched the new Jumanji films, which I've started to watch recently, actually pretty good. But anyway, going back to what we were saying then. So yeah, we're going to have a game on the Nintendo Wii and find some old faces and all that kind of thing. Should we do the Soldier Boy dance?
No.
No? You don't do the Soldier Boy dance?
I know the dance, yeah. I mean, I remember it.
Let's do the Soldier Boy dance. Do we know it?
Not really, no. I know the song.
You know it, but you're not going to do it.
Well, you can do it and I'll watch.
I don't know it very well. My mate Solway is very good at it. It was always his thing to do the soldier boy.
Yeah.
There we go. You! Is it like that?
Soldier boy, tough.
Yeah,
I got enough damn for y'all called a soldier boy. You got a
point there, crackback. Yeah. Yeah, we're not missing out on much.
Okay, never mind. So we're not the Soldier Boy, that's fine.
Yep.
What else could we be doing then in 2007? I might go and watch Kevin Shelley break a world record.
Okay. What did he break a world record for, Jim?
Kevin Shelley.
Yep.
I'm going to have to remind myself how long he did it. But he was breaking the world record for sitting on the toilet for the longest amount of time possible.
Ooh.
I mean, whether that record's been broke since then, I'm not sure.
I don't know. Did he stop Paris Hilton from dropping her phone down the toilet, or was he acting as a blocker?
He could have done at the time. Is he? We talked to the guy who breaks toilet seats with his head. So he also breaks toilet seats with his head.
As you do.
There we go. We've gone away from screen sharing. We were so clever. We did screen sharing. Now we're just basically
holding stuff up to the screen. Yeah. Why would you do? Why would you break toilet seats with your head?
But yeah, he also holds a world record. He achieved this record. Hold on. He also broke the world record for the most wooden toilet seats broken by the head in 1 minute, a remarkable 46, which he achieved on a German television show in
2007.
Hey! Yeah, that's it.
It all comes back in the end. Brilliant.
But apparently he also has a record for sitting on the toilet for the longest amount of time, which was probably in 2009, to be fair.
Yeah.
So anyway, but there we go. Are we ready to spin the time machine though?
We can spin the time machine.
And work out where we're going next.
Have we got sort of caveats in place to make sure we're not going back too far so we can at least roughly remember some of the stuff that's happened? Or...
So let's go and spin the time machine. Do you want number one, number two, or number three? Because there's three buttons on it, so they go at different speeds, and I don't know what's going to happen.
Let's go two.
You want to go two? Yeah. Here we go. So this is where we're going to go in the next episode, everybody. Twelve. We're going to. We're not going far, are we? In this time machine.
The Olympics. So
we've gone 2014, then we've gone to 2007. We're jumping back forward to 2012. We might get home eventually. So yeah, we're going to 2012 next time.
Diamond Jubilee.
There we
London
go.
2012 Olympics.
That's it.
Makes you proud to be British. What else happened? Did we start podcasting in 2012?
I think we did. So that's a good year, isn't it? So the whole Waste of Web Space thing originally started in 2012. So yeah, there we go. Well, Fisher.
Well, congratulations. Let's head back to the year 2023.
Aren't we just staying here for a bit?
Don't know.
I'm going to finish playing the Wii first, I think. So, anyway, thank you very much, everybody, for watching and for listening. If you listen on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're listening, if you've been watching on YouTube or on our Facebook channel, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you again next time in 2012. 2012. That's not right, is it?
No, 2012 or 2012, depending on how you say it.
That'll do. See you then.
See you then. Bye-bye.